Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings 7, very familiar passage of Scripture. The words here in 2 Kings 7 leapt off the pages. Let me set this up and then we'll stand and read a few verses. Really, the whole story is from verse 1 through 20. We're not going to read all of those verses, but I'll reference them. I should back up. There's this servant of Elijah, the man of God. His name is Gehazi. And a man by the name of Naaman, he was the general of the Syrian army, has leprosy. Raise your hand if you know the story. And one of the slave girls from Israel who had been taken captive says to Naaman's wife, oh, that Naaman would go to Israel and be healed of his leprosy. So we know from that he's probably a kind man, because she wouldn't want her servant to die without regard to the slavery and all of that for tonight. They send letters, goes to the king sends letters, and the king of Israel thinks that they're picking a fight, but that's not what's happening, really. The king wants his servant Naaman healed of his leprosy. So he goes and knocks on the door of Elijah, and Elijah doesn't get out of his easy chair. It's pretty intense. I mean, a very important man comes, and he has an entourage. He knocks on the door, and he asks for healing, and Gehazi is the servant who gives the instructions to Naaman. Go and dip 7 times in the Jordan, and Naaman gets offended. And as I've preached from the text dozens of times, God will always offend your heart to reveal your mind. Offend your mind, pardon me, to reveal your heart. And Naaman is bent out of shape. Couldn't I have dipped in the rivers back home? They're better than the muddy Jordan. My God, what am I gonna do? And one of his servants says, if he told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you do it? Sometimes we're locked into a place of the way that God is going to do miracles. And I've found oftentimes that is pretty much the last way he's going to do it. God knows how to heal you. God knows how to set you free. God knows how to do a miracle. And right about the time that you know how he's going to do it, it'll be right at about the time he doesn't do it that way. Because it's not a formula, it's relationship. And so thank God for the rebuke that he gets from his servant. And he ends up and he becomes an Alaskan. The big dipper. He dips 7 times. And he comes up clean as a baby's backside. Glory. And he offers an offering to the man of God, and the man of God says no. And so he leaves. But Gehazi, we've preached it, Gehazi, who's going to be the next guy in charge, he's going to be the next guy that inherits the double portion, if you will. Gehazi has in his mind that his servant, his pastor, the prophet, the leader, has made a mistake. And so he says, my master's been too hard on this man. And there's this bitterness or something about him that he hates. He makes reference to his nationality. He's racist. He says, I'm going to go after him. And he makes this plan and he runs after him and he brings 2 servants from the school of the prophets and they run off. And he collects the silver, the gold. You can go look at it. And he gets a change of clothes, these garments, and he gives it to the servants. And he says goodbye to Naaman. And Naaman says, thank you. And he rides off. Gehazi comes back to the man of God. And the man of God says, didn't my spirit go with you when you went? Where did you go? He says, oh, I didn't go anywhere. I was just cruising. Just eating hummus and chips over there. What have you been up to? man of God, you need anything? Can I wash your hands? What's going on? He's like, didn't my spirit go with you? Now the leprosy of Naaman will cling to you. And he becomes a leper. He is one of what scholars say is one of the lepers in the text that we're about to read here in 2 Kings 7. Stand up on your feet now. Give you context. With further context, we're going to take it from verse 3, but with further context, these lepers are outside the city wall of Samaria and great famine, and they're being besieged, and they're all going to die. And a prophetic word comes the day before that God is going to open up windows of heaven. God's going to pour out, and the cost of flour and meal, everything's going to be reduced. The famine's going to be over, and breakthrough will be upon us this time tomorrow. Everybody say this time tomorrow. This time tomorrow. And one of the king's servants there, the city of Samaria that's besieged, says, if there was even windows of heaven that could open, could that even be possible? He said, it is possible, but you're not going to see it. You're going to get trampled in the gate. So now this is the next day after the prophetic word. Here we go. 2 Kings 7, New Living Translation, verse 3. Now there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Quote, why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. Father, thank you. Move in power. Amen. You may be seated. What jumped off the pages is, why sit here till we die? I remember years ago, I had a dog that would terrorize me. And I was driving in the snowstorm recently with new tires, thank God. And I realized that I had a bit of a problem. It's a good problem, but it needs to be tempered. I really don't have much fear. I don't have fear about crashing. I don't have fear about dying. I don't have fear about anything, really. I have a fear of the Lord, but like, if you see me running, you should also run. It's not something that, it's just not in me like that. Some others are given to fear more. I don't really have much fear. But when I was a kid, I had some things that scared me. And I had a particular, it was a dog that terrorized me. And I don't know what happened. I think one day I just realized, you know something? I bet I could hurt the dog. I bet that dog could be more afraid of me. I think I'm smarter than a dog. Something happened. I don't know what it was. So as I was riding my bike, I had a 10-speed Motobacon bike made in France. And I rode that bike purposely towards that dog's house down the hill. And I thought, I am riding past this house. The dog's going to come out and I'm going to kick it or something, but I'm not going to be afraid. Now, I know we all love dogs. Some of you love cats. But we came down. The dog came out. And I ended up, it almost knocked me off my bike. It really came after me. I ended up moving my leg and I had to get off my bike. And then something rose up in me. And I have a bigger bite than that dog. And you should have seen that. It's ugly. So he came at me and, and I was getting the dog's like, hey, hey. And we faced off. I'm like, yeah. And I never had a problem with the dog ever again. Faith gets everything. Doubt and unbelief gets nothing. And I want to encourage you as I preach this message to you. Oh, young boy, another illustration. Young boy in church. He stands up, like right now. He stands up. He's with his mom. He stands up. It's not time to stand up necessarily. I mean, honestly, if you feel like you want to stand up right now, I could care less. But in this case, he's sitting with his mom and his dad, and few kids there. He's 10 years old, and he just wants to stand. So he stands defiantly. His mother says, sit down. He says, no. Game over right there in my family, but she gave him three more strikes. We don't do three strikes. You know why? God doesn't do three strikes. It's first time obedience. After that, you've disobeyed. Consequences. Can all the mom and dads say amen? Amen. So she said, I said, sit down. He says, no. So she stands up and puts her hand on his shoulder and says, I said, sit down. Pushes him down. He sits. She sits down and says, he looks at his mother and says, I might be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. He needed some ministry. I want to encourage you that if you get a hold of the word that I preach to you tonight, it will change your life. You do not have to tolerate the disease. You don't have to tolerate the problem and the pain that you're in. You can rise up big. And that thing you might be in, and it might be sitting on you, and you might be sitting on the outside, if I could say it that way. But if you'd stand up big on the inside, there's nothing you can't do with God. There's no storm, no difficulty, no circumstances, no trial you can't overcome. If you'll just learn to stand in the word and decree some, come on, why sit here till we die? Many of you here under the sound of my voice understand that Jesus was crucified for your sin and for mine. He was crucified for the sins of the whole world. You understand on the third day after his death, he rose again. You understand from the word of God that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. You understand if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. You understand that. But understanding that does not get you saved. Knowing that truth, knowing that eternal reality doesn't make you born again. And so you can know promises in your head, but actually not stand up into them and contend and take them and move them forward. And as a result, you will never move into the miracle power of God. You'll never move into supernatural breakthrough, financial breakthrough, emotional breakthrough. You'll never move into all that God has if you just sit there, listen, and cry. Turn to Exodus 14. I'm all for crying. I'm a crier. I'm a big crier. God supernaturally helped me at my daughter's wedding. Didn't hardly cry at all. Cried later. There's nothing wrong with crying as long as it's crying unto God. But even then, there's a time where you should stop crying. You should get up and get going. Exodus chapter 14. The army of the Egyptians is behind them. God's protecting them, pillar of fire by night, cloud by day. Look at verse 14 of Exodus 14, the Red Sea before them. There's no hope in the natural. The Lord will fight for you, says Moses. But while you only need to keep silent and remain calm, he says that to the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the sons of Israel to move forward toward the sea. He's telling them, stop crying. There's a time to cry. There's a time to weep. There's a time to cry out unto God. Now, I've done the kind of crying where I didn't cry to God. I've done the kind of crying that was like, poor me, I'm filled with sorrow and sadness, and there is a time for mourning, clearly. Then there's a time to get up. There's a time to shake yourself from the dust. But I've known people that have not moved forward in the plan of God when they say they're crying out, waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. Anybody ever heard that? I'm waiting on. In the Western world, waiting on is like, you know, how long do we have to wait? That's not a Hebrew. Hebrew understanding is to be braided with God. It's an empowered waiting. It's waiting with him, and as he's working everything together and the timing's coming together and he's moving in power, it's not like, come on, God, seriously, I've been waiting for you for a long time. He's an on-time God, yeah, is he? Is he really? He opens one door and he closes another. I love what, I think it was Pastor Alex told me this. He opens one door and he closes another, but it sure is hell in the hallway. Sometimes when a door closes and you're moving forward, you're waiting on God. It can be difficult. And I've seen people that cried and wept and cried and wept and got people on Facebook and Instagram to cry and weep with them and stay in that place of sorrow and never rise up. There must come a time where you rise up and take the land. There must come a time where you rise up and move forward. You know, the Red Sea doesn't part until you get your, put your foot in it. It's a story of this dog who constantly harassed. Anybody grow up on a farm? I didn't grow up on a farm, but I worked on farms as I was growing up. So my family didn't have one, but I worked on an Arabian horse farm, a potato farm, and corn in the summer. And I learned to work. You learn to work when you're on a farm. There's this dog, and the dog loved harassing this calf. Just would go out and chase the calf around, and the calf would run, and the dog lived to be loosed to chase the calf. He's like, and then what happened? It's the calf. Calf grew. Calf grew up. As a what a day when the dog went out to chase the calf, and the calf's like, dog's like, came over. I'm telling you, the enemy is like a dog. If you'll understand who you are and you'll allow yourself to grow up big on the inside, you can speak to mountains and they can move. Why sit here until you die? God's with you. He's more than able to do it for you. Stand up and get a hold of the word of God and drive back the enemy. Speak to sickness and disease and command it to go. Don't just sit there. Why sit there and you, well, I don't know what we're going to do. What do you mean you don't know what you're going to do? Grow a spine. Get a hold of the word of God. Grow a spine is also from Pastor Alex. Thank you. Those are two great. I love those. Awesome. Hell in the hallway, grow a spine. God works through his word. Go to Mark 9. Mark 9. Jesus has been up on the mountain of transfiguration. Mount Transfiguration. He comes down, verse 17, and the man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving," verse 19, Jesus, the greatest preacher of all, "you unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring me the boy." So he brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, fell to the ground, rolled foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" I mean, get the picture. Boy's demonized. The disciples can't do anything. Jesus comes. The Spirit sees Jesus. The Father tells him the problem. Transgenderism, at best, is a mental disease. At best. At worst, it's a demon spirit. You say, is there a difference? I think this clearly there can be demon power behind mental disorders and disease. Can I preach in here? I'm gonna, you know I'm gonna anyway, but from childhood, is it this boy's demonized from childhood? And I've seen children demonized many times because of poor parenting and a defilement that takes place. We're not here to analyze exactly why. God comes and sets people free. You know, he never castigated anybody that had demons or was demonized or suicidal or tormented, or he never did any of that. He just set them free. And the church would try to put him in some category. And what's the name? Tell me the name. We got to know the name. If you don't know the name of the spirit, then you don't have authority over it. Well, that's not even biblical. And first of all, if you do ask a demon a name, they lie. So don't talk to demons. Command them. I had somebody tell me, you got to know the name. If you don't know the name, there's just no way that they can go. I know the name. The name is Jesus. Command the thing to go. The name of Jesus, I command you, loose your hold now.
I.
Like a scalded dog. I just saw some stuff happen right there. It's like awesome. From childhood. How long has he been like this? Boy's rolling around foaming. So Jesus doesn't even instantly set him free. He's like, wow, this is fascinating. So I mean, this is Jesus. The kid's rolling around. He's like, Dad, how long has he been like this? And he says, from childhood. He answered, he often throws him into the fire or into water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. First of all, if. And Jesus is amazed. If you can, look at verse 23. If you can. Jesus answers, if you can. If. He's almost like amazed. He's like, Pastor, there's a spider. Are you able to kill that? Where is it? Oh. He asked Jesus, if you can. It's an astounding acknowledgement of unbelief and doubt. Here's the King of Glory. He speaks and planets spin off. He's the creator of all. He made you. He made me. He made the stars. He made the sea. He made the land. He spoke and things come into existence. He's there and they ask if you can. Do you think God is able to help you tonight? Do you think God can help you? Do you think it's possible that God is able to drive out cancer, drive out leukemia, drive out disease? Do you think it's possible? Can I preach in here? Do you think it's possible for him to bring about the fulfillment of the plan that he has for your life? Absolutely yes. Come on, somebody say yes. It is possible. But he doesn't move because of pity. He's moved by faith. This building is being paid off. I got the figure, but it seems a little too low, so I'm having them just double check. There's four different loans on the property, so I'm not going to give it to you just yet. I called accounting. We worked everything out, and they told me I wasn't able to get the final. You know, you got to call. How many of you know you got to call the bank and find out what exactly is the payoff? So I want that. So it could be the next time that I stand before you and make that declaration that God is going to pay off our $20+ million debt on this problem. I'm telling you, that's where it's not if he's going to do it. He's already done it. I feel something stirring on the inside of me. And I want you to believe that if God did it for one man, he can do it for another. If he did it for this little boy, which you're about to see, he can do it for your little boy. If he did it for some little girl on the far side of the world, he can do it for your little girl. He can do it for your marriage. He can do it for your brother. He can do it for your sister. He's God, and he's not a respecter of persons. Come on, he heals the sick and set the captives free. He's more than able to do it for you and me. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? Just felt like preaching tonight a little bit. Faith receives everything. Doubt gets nothing. Oh, you're so lucky, really. And it's all the grace of God. Wow. If you can, Jesus said, anything is possible for the one who believes. Anything is possible for the one who believes. Anything is possible for the one who believes. Anything is possible to him who believes, to her who believes. There's only two, him and her. That's it. And God's able to do it. I want you to raise a hand to heaven and say, anything's possible. According to my faith, it's possible. Now, it's not faith and some positive mental attitude or positive thinking. The power of positive thinking, Norman Vincent Peale. Yeah, amen if it's thinking on the Word of God, because if it's your own up, made up imagination, good luck with that. I believe I can fly. No, you cannot. Now, if you had a word in there that says, you know, if it's in the Word, then you believe it, and then that settles it. It moves forward, and it happens according to His Word, the Word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You get a word from God backed up by Scripture. He stands over it to see it performed. That's the truth. You make up things in your own mind. That's one of the great things about this building. It's great to have Wally here tonight and Lauren. Some beautiful things about this building is that we knew. The reason we're in it is we just had faith that God would come through, and He did over and over and over, and more difficulties and challenges and obstacles. Well, it sure took a long time to build. You try building it. Let's see how long it takes you. And I don't know. I'm thankful it took 7.5 years on one hand. On the other hand, not so much. But on one hand, I am, because it did something in me. It did. It put something in us. It put some fight in us. It put faith in us. It made us strong. We clearly saw the hand of God over and over and over and over. Undeniably, God manifesting His power, speaking to us through prophets, speaking to us through His Word, speaking to us in the circumstances, untold miracles, weather patterns changing. Come on, somebody. Miracles of provision, miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance, miracles in the midst of an earthquake, in the midst of COVID. Miracle, 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 over and over and over and over. So why wouldn't God just totally take care of the whole thing? He's going to. It's already done. I'm telling you, you ought to shout like God just did it all. And the beautiful thing is, it's an illustration that if He did it for a group of people, then He can do it for you and your family. It does not matter where you're, how messed up your uncle is and how he's on meth. I don't care how big the tracks are in his arm tonight. I'm telling you, God's able to set him free. It doesn't matter what's happened in your marriage, or you might be on the rocks. God's able to bring you off the rocks in smooth sailing. But only by faith. Faith receives everything from God's Word. It's accessed by faith. Doubt, nada. Taking Spanish, nada means zero, nothing. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. That's a great prayer. Come on, say that. Said, I believe. Come on, say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I got rebuked by my wife today. It's not all that unusual. Glory to God. I get rebuked, corrected, instructed by the Lord regularly. And if you've not been corrected by the Lord recently, it might mean that you're illegitimate. There's a other word that's more aggressive that I won't use tonight for the sake of Pastor Karen. If it was a men's meeting, I'd use the word, other words. I would use other words. It's good to get corrected. She didn't know she was giving me the straight beat down, but she did. And that's generally how the correction of the Lord comes, through somebody who says something to you sweet, but it's the Lord just be like, psh, I got a spanking. There I was, and my wife says, you need to get in the Word. I just looked at her. She's like, you do better when you're in the Word. You're out of the Word a little bit right now. Praise the Lord. Boy, sure is snowing. I mean, I was just like, psh, 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 like, So I left the house. Like many corrected men of God would do, I left the house. And when in the Word, please don't miss what that means for me. What that means for me, it's not that I didn't do my daily Bible reading. I did my daily Bible reading. And it's not that I haven't prepared sermons. I get sermons I'm preparing, and they're all in various forms. And it's in the Word is a very intimate thing. She could tell that I have not spent time where he has. What else did you say? When you're in the Word, you just have great joy. I'm like, okay. Which means I guess I don't have great joy right now. And so I left, and I got in the Word and just started spending time with Jesus. And it's so easy to get very busy. It's very easy to get distracted. Oh, I don't mean your daily Bible reading. Some of you don't do that. You should start there. That's a good start. Everyone should get in the Word. If you don't read the Word daily, you might want to wonder what's happened. I mean, if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and you're not listening to the Word of God, and I did say listen, it's not just read it, it's listen, and I do believe it needs to be out loud. You should read it out loud. I listen to it out loud, but for me, I'm an auditory learner. I think it could be perceived that what you're reading, words are in your head, that maybe that could be a way of listening. It's not auditory through your ear, but it's in your head. I think that could be argued. But if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and then you're not in the Word like that, where he's speaking to you, and if it's faith that receives everything and doubt that gets nothing, and faith comes by hearing the Word, how are you supposed to raise the dead, heal the sick, move the mountain? How are you supposed to fulfill the plan of God that he has for you when you haven't spent, when you haven't been in the Word, when you haven't been with him, when you haven't heard him, when you haven't listened to him? And you just cry when the problem comes. Don't just cry. Cry and get up. Cry unto God. Weep, mourn, yes. Laugh, absolutely. Get up and get going. Why sit in the same situation and die? It's not God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.